Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
Praise be the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. Yes, it's very personal. Again, the question is on tonight, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God? That's the title of the radio program that you're tuned into right now. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. Once again, on tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to deliver God's word. For those of you that have dialed in for the first time, or you may be a first-time listener over social media, because this is a worldwide platform, if you are listening in for the first time, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, so you can follow along with the man of God on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer right now, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Before we go any further, I want the listeners to know, because sometimes we have new listeners dialing in. After Deacon Marvin Cox has concluded with the message on tonight, once again, I will be opening up the phone lines for anyone that has dialed in. If you want to have questions for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you would have an opportunity to do so after he has delivered God's word on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come once again touching and agreeing and knowing that you are God alone, you're God all by yourself. You're worthy of our praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised. Your word lets us know that man should always pray and not faint. So help us to learn, Heavenly Father, to always look unto the hills, to look to you, from which cometh our help. For all of our help comes from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to wake up and see this another day that you have made. And you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger. And we're clothed. We have clothes and raiment to put on our bodies, and we are in our right mind. So we thank you for that. We don't take it lightly or for granted. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name as well. And Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and all saved believers all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain. That's why we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It's through him that we can ask to be forgiven of our sins and our transgressions so that we can move forward and fulfill our God purposes in the earth that will continue to give you glory, honor, and praise. Now, Heavenly Father, we come touching and agreeing, lifting up our sisters and brothers in Christ all over the land that have lost loved ones for whatever reasons. We still continue to lift up the people of Ukraine that are continuously losing loved ones due to this unprovoked war. Even some of the Russian soldiers that have lost their lives during this war. We continue to lift up all families that are bereaved on tonight. Continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even during the hour of bereavement. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We come now and lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing my brother-in-law, Ken Jones, to be able to come home from the hospital on yesterday. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to touch him, strengthen his body in the name of Jesus. Not only him, but I lift up my Aunt Eola down in Alabama, that you would touch her body, Lord. You know what's going on with her, and you know how to heal her. And we pray, Lord, that you would make the right decisions regarding her health, that she would get the help that she needs, that anything that needs to be done, that she would turn it over to you first and foremost, and then that she would yield and let the doctors do what they need to do, that she would be healed and recovered and restored in the name of Jesus. Not only them, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. You know who they are and you know where they are. So we thank you that you are still healing. You're still delivering your people and setting your people free in the name of Jesus. So have your way in each one of our lives, because your word lets us know that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. And we thank you that you sit high and you look low, and you still have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray and lift up all those that may be tuning on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name. It's our prayer, our hope, and desire that through your man of God, Deacon Margaret Cox, as you use him through your Holy Spirit, that the word will go forth and their ears will be open and attended to be able to hear your word on tonight. Those that are not saved, but open their own mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, that he shed his own sinless blood, that we would have an opportunity to be saved and be redeemed and restored back to you as our Heavenly Father and our Creator. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for his sacrifice, that he went down into the grave in death. And he came out of the grave with the victory over death, hell, and the grave in his hands. And he's now sitting at your right hand making intercession for the saints of God, even now. And for this, we're grateful. And we know that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. Now, Lord, we pray that you will have your way on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us. And that your word on tonight will not go out void, but it will accomplish everything that you set up for it to do. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide platform and ministry. Even to those that are listening in for the first time, continue to bless them. Grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. I lift up my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Continue to bless them. And not only them, but I lift up even my former pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, his family, and the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family. Continue to bless them as well, in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you would have your way on tonight, that you would get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another scripture food for thought. And it comes to us saying, it's better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction. That's powerful, but it's something to consider. again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. It's better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction. We get ready. Before I go to the music break, I do want you all to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners, because we have a lot of new listeners that's tuning in. So I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And also, please take note that I do not own the copyright to any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry platform. So right now, we're going to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to share once again with us another inspirational poem. And following the poem, he's going to go directly into God's word. So that's why I pray and hope that you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thyself. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh, cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh. With thy breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Sing this. Cover me. Come on, sing that with me. Oh, cover me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, cover me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cover me. Oh, my mama. Somebody open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The word of God says that the man should always pray and not faint, and that the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Before I bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox to share another poem and bring forth God's word on tonight, I'm asking all the listeners if you would please lift up the Little family, their grandson, 21 years old in college in Texas, was accidentally shot and killed. Someone in their apartment complex was playing around with a gun and thought that the gun was, you know, the chambers was empty, but apparently the gun had bullets in it, and it's one of the bullets hit the young man in the side, and he died on his way to the hospital. So that family is grieving on tonight. I'm asking all the listeners, keep Brother Frank Little and his entire family in your prayers, that God will give them the strength to endure during this trial, and that that they are grieving over the loss of their loved one on tonight, because God is going to be able to give them the strength and the endurance that they need in order to get through this ordeal. So right now we are ready to receive none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. And once again, after he has concluded with the word on tonight, I will open up the phone lines as I normally do lately. I will open up the phone lines if you have any questions for him pertaining to tonight's message, or you want to give him words of encouragement. You would have an opportunity to do so after he has concluded with the message on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the listeners for making the Lord's program a success. I have a lot to cover tonight, so I'm going to skip the preliminaries, and I'm going to get to the main event. The poem that the Lord gave me is basically an Easter poem, and I want to share this with you, because this is the eve of the Lord's triumphant return into Jerusalem. This is the eve, Palm Sunday, the eve of Palm Sunday. Now, let us say this, the poem is self-explanatory. It's called "The Same Man." And it's more than appropriate. That same man that you praised the other day is the same man that you now cast away. The very same man that brought so much joy to your heart is that same man that you want to depart from out of your presence and out of your sight, only because he stands for what is right. Kill him, nail him to the cross. He exposed me as a fraud, and I can't take the loss. He gave the world all that he could give, and because of his concern for my soul, he doesn't deserve to live. On his truthful tongue, we all can rely. And for his telling me the truth, this man needs to die. He told me about myself and my sinful ways. Then he x-rayed my heart with his heavenly gaze. He saw evil in every corner. Yes, my evil was intense. But he uttered not a word in his own defense. He was guilty of nothing except for loving us so. He laid down his life so that the whole world may know that reconciliation with God was the only plan, and there's no logical reason to keep crucifying that man. We must all change the way that we look at brothers and see not only strangers, but needful brothers. And this can only happen when we realize that it's true. That same man died on the cross for you, and especially you. Amen. I'm going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. Tonight's lesson, I'm coming from two different parts of the Bible, two different scriptures, two different books. And the first one is from the Gospel as recorded by St. Matthew, 21st chapter, verses I wrote down in Brother Brown, 1 through 11. I'm going to read all the way through to verse number 16 in that 21st chapter. And then I'll be reading Galatians 4:16. And it reads, and it's concerned, it said, a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And when they drew nigh into Jerusalem, and when they come to Bethphage and to the mountain Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man ought unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass in the coat, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and bought the ass and the coat, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread with their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee, Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tablets of the money changers, the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it in the thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said to them, hearest thou that these say? And Jesus said to them, yea, have ye never read, one out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. So now I'm going to move over to Galatians, the 4th chapter, the sixth verse, and it reads, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, I combine these two scriptures tonight to bring you the lesson for tonight. And the lesson is, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I just read unto you from the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 16, followed that by Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the lesson, as I was saying, is asking each and every last one of us a question. And this question is involving the truth. And this lesson is about love. It's about loyalty. It's about deceit. It's about betrayal. There's a whole lot of things that's going on here. But in order for me to, as I always do, in order for me to give you an accurate reading of what was being said, I must give you some history. Now, we know that Paul was a disciple of Jesus. And we're doing this in the reverse order. We're going to talk about Paul, and we're going to talk about Jesus, and we got time left, we're going to talk about you. So Paul was in the 4th chapter of Galatians. Paul was in prison. And what happened is that he was went out before he went to prison. He went out, him and Silas, to establish a mission. He went out on a missionary journey for the Lord to recruit people and to convert people to the church. But at that time, over in in Asia, God had forbidden them to preach in certain areas. So he went to Philippi, which they say is the chief city in Macedonia, and or it was better known as if we put it today as the capital of Macedonia. And as he began to establish his ministry, they converted quite a few people in Ephesus and Colossians and all the regions of that area. And so in Macedonia, it was a young lady by the name of Lydia. She came seeking Paul and Silas, and he prayed for them. He prayed for her, and whatever her ailment was, it disappeared. She was cured. She was healed. She began, and so she told Paul if he believed that which was said and done at that particular time, that he could come over to her house and that he could abide with her. And so he did so. But see, this is the beginning of sorrows for Paul. This is the beginning of his troubles. And if you notice in your life, the beginning of your troubles, or seems so, is when you start serving the Lord and telling people the truth. They begin stay away from you like you are the plague. And so, as I was saying, Paul was residing. They said she went to Lydia's house and she constrained them, which means that she took care of them. She provided for them, but it was a slave girl. And the slave girl at that particular time, she was unnamed, but she had an ailment, that she had a spirit of divination. And so with the spirit of divination, Paul did not comply with her request immediately, but he eventually gave in and he prayed for her, and she was cured. And so in order for me to bring you up to date on that, I'm going to Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 14 through 24. And it reads, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whom heart the Lord opened. But she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she took care of the things. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass that we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show unto us the way of salvation. And did she many days. So in other words, she was just petitioning Paul. You know, she just didn't give up when he told her, when he turned her down. He said, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So in other words, he took care of this immediately, if not sooner. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, he called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. So in other words, they suspended them and put them up under arrest and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. things which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And they, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. When having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Amen. Now I'm going to stop right there and just give you an example of what I had just read to you. Now, this slave girl, it was saying in verse number 19 that when Paul said when the spirit immediately came out of her, her masters, those that were using her for their own selfish gain, to say that they were upset about that. Now, verse number 19 tells us that, and when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone. So in other words, when Paul healed this lady, then they began to see their money fly out the window. They began to see that it was no longer any use for their services. All the lawyers, the bootleg doctors, the soothsayers, the pharmacists, all of these people that were making money off of the slave girls. And you know how it is nowadays. When you got an ailment or something, you go to the doctor, and the doctor's got a friend who got a friend who got a friend, and the doctor writes you a prescription. And you go to, he said, well, I want you to go to this pharmacist. I want you to go to that pharmacist. And then, so it's a kickback. It's money to be made on all these things because whether we know it or not, people benefit from your misery. They benefit your illness. There's been a lot of things that's prescribed, a lot of opioids that's been prescribed to tell the truth that we really don't need. I'm not telling you don't take your heart medicine, don't take your kidney pills. I'm not telling you that. But I'm just saying that we got to be careful because once we begin to take this medication, it starts a chain reaction, and we begin to feel that we cannot get along without this medicine. So as I was saying in verse number 19, they saw that the hope their gains because, see, if you go to a doctor, he'll tell you, okay, I want to see you in 6 weeks. I want to see you in 6 months because, see, he knows that the insurance company is paying good money just for them to put a bandage on you. And so they didn't like that. They were upset. And see, I'm going to go back to Matthew in a few minutes and tell you about how the priest and the church, how they were so displeased. It says in the 21st chapter of Matthew, right around the 15th verse, it says, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. In other words, they was, well, They were really ticked off. And let's keep it clean. They were really upset. Wroth with anger because the real doctor had come into the house. And so they began to, and see, when the real doctor comes, then it's no reason, it's no use for the fakers and the foolers. You know how sometimes we take our car to a bootleg mechanic and he just patch up the car, but when that real mechanic come in and he diagnosed and he fixed the problem, because a lot of times people just patch up things, and sometimes I used to think that the mechanic just fixed my car long enough for it to get to the next corner to break down so I could go take it back to him for something else. So in other words, people want you to keep constantly coming back to them. But see, Paul told them the truth. And that's like when the Lord told them the truth. See, I'm skipping back from verse to verse. So see, when the Lord told them the truth, They didn't like that. When Paul told them the truth, they didn't like that. They were so displeased. In other words, they began to have that hateful attitude that people have when you tell them the truth. When you tell them that there's no reason for you to keep on lying like you're lying. Now, as long as you go along with somebody, as long as you don't say anything, even though Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, tells us it's a time to say something, but sometimes when you don't say nothing about something, then people think that you're going along with it. But see, it's a time. But when that time comes, it should not make any difference who it is. The Lord told the people after they gave him a wonderful welcome, after they said, Hosanna in the highest, which is the highest praise, which means, interpreted means, God save us. When they told him that, then they gave him, the highest praise possible. But see, that same man, which is our subtopic for the night, that same man that brought so much joy to their heart, that same man that told them about their wicked ways, that same man that they were so happy to see, that same man that they threw their clothes and palm leaves down, that same man. Now, when you tell somebody something that you're trying to get some correction in their life, you say, hey, I'm the same person I was. I didn't say nothing yesterday, but I can't go along with your foolishness no longer. But then they want to disown you. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. They want to put you in prison. They want to kill you. They want to have as much distance between you and them as is humanly possible. And so, as I say, we're going back over here to Acts. And so, when Paul healed the slave girl and he cut out the cash flow that was going on because, say, her masters, they're about their gain, he said, when the hope of their gains was gone. So there was no reason. If I'm healed or something, there's no need for me to go back up to CVS and keep getting that same medication. No reason to go to Walmart and get that medication. Why? You have no use for it. So a lot of times, you know, we think to ourselves, I know a lot of people say, it should look like that doctor is giving me this just to keep me coming back. And so verse number 20, it says, so they took him to the jail. They took him to the magistrates. They took him, okay, and see, we know that sometimes it looked like it's a little click-click that they got going. And they said, these men being Jews, they trouble our city. So if you're troubling somebody's city, then that means that, so what they did, they took to the magistrate, and the magistrate locked up Paul and Silas for, they call it public nuisance. But nowadays, we call it disorderly conduct because they were not doing the things that they're supposed to do because they were going against the law. Because they was causing people to, you know, they were running, you know, these doctors and soothsayers and bootleg lawyers and pharmacists. They had a going out of business there because the people were beginning to believe what was going on in with Paul, you know. So quite naturally, if you have a liquidation sale, you're going to be angry with the person they call. You're going to be angry with your competitor. I'll put it that way. You're going to wonder why they're not coming to you anymore. And so, as I was saying, so what they did, they whipped them. They gave them a public flogging because what happened is that when you tell people the truth, they're going to try to embarrass you. They're going to try to, and this is just for a misdemeanor now. They're going to try to embarrass you. They're going to try to discredit you. They're going to try to set an example. They incarcerated them. But then what confused me, it didn't confuse me, but it made me laugh a little bit. And then at the end of it says that in verse number 23 of Acts, the 16th chapter, this is what it says. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them to prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, ain't that something? You're going to beat somebody down to a half an inch of their life, and then you're going to tell them to the house, take them to the hospital or put them in jail, say, well, you take care of them. So in other words, what they were doing, they put them in, they call it PC. And I know those people who've been incarcerated know what PC is. It's known as protective custody. You see, Paul, as I say, he had missions, and I think he was incarcerated at least three times. And so that same man, isn't that something, that same man that brings you joy, that same man that brought you good news, that same man that you run out to meet. Now, this is a moral example, but recently, if you looked at the Academy Awards and you see that Mr. Will Smith had took all that he could took, you know, he said he was protecting his wife and everything, all of the wonderful things that he did, all the philanthropical things he did, all of the charitable things that he did, the whole world condemned him. But, okay, we're going to take that, we're going to clean it up, and we're going to see all the wonderful things that the Lord did, all the healing that he done, all the saving that he done, all of the warnings that he gave. We condemned him. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. So that same man, isn't that something, how that same person that's been telling us and loving us and looking out for us, then all of a sudden we get that rage and we get that hatred in our heart that we think that they're not even worthy enough to live. And so they threw him in prison. Now we're going to move back over here to Matthew, the 20th chapter, because see that same man. I want to just take a few examples out of what the magnitude of his coming into town. So verse number 2 of the 21st chapter of St. Matthew says, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now, look at this great leader. Look at how this great leader, now, if you look at how the leaders of our world nowadays, what do they have? They have limousines. They have, they ride around in their Mercedes Benz, you know, with the Secret Service on the side of them. They ride around in their BMWs. The United States have a car, they call it the Beast. And this is the best of the best of the best. It's armor plated. But see, the Lord sent his disciples out to get a donkey. Okay? And see, a king, when he comes triumphantly back, see, a king normally rides on a horse, which is a symbol of power, which is a symbol of war. But see, let me tell you what that donkey represents. That one that he came in, that donkey represents serving. It represents suffering. It represents peace. It represents humility. So see, the Lord didn't come in like, hey, I'm here, the party can start now. He came into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Came into Jerusalem, as you know how. And the people received him, but they were so glad to see him. The same man. He wasn't a braggart. He didn't have to have all that attention, but the people at that particular time gave him that attention. And so he went there, and everything was, how they say, everything was copacetic for a few days. But then the longer he was there, you know how sometimes as a Christian you might go into a place and it seems like the longer you stay there, the more you got to say to yourself, I got to get out of here, I'm going to lose my life. But it was necessary that he go there because, see, this is what is known as Holy Week that's coming up. And so he was making his rounds, and he went into the temple. And they recognized him as the son of David, the son of God. But then when he went into the temple, see, this is something else, you know, that happened. He went in there, and it was getting close to the festival. And at that time, just like now, if you look at it, there's certain times of the year that the merchants, they raise their prices. You say, wow, you say chicken was only 19 cents a pound last week, but now it's $20 a pound. I had to put a pound of hot dogs in the layaway the other day because food got so high. So we look at these things, and they knew that the people were coming over. They knew that the people would be there for that particular festivity. And so they began to extort the people. They call it, in today's society, they call it price gouging. So they began to on the people. They began to extort the people. And the Lord, this, like I say, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, we see in verse number 13, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have turned it and made it a den of thieves. So in other words, we've got all these cutthroats there that's making a profit. And if you notice that any time it's a large event, if you go down to a baseball game or a Super Bowl or any large event, you go down there and the prices of parking then skyrocketed. The restaurants then tripled their prices. And this is what the people were doing. They were selling those doves because they were selling those doves because the doves were used for sacrifice. But the Lord didn't like it, so he turned over the table of the money changers. And so they owed a net against him. And then down here in verse number 16 of the 21st chapter of Matthew, and it reads, verse number 15, I'm sorry. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the son of David, guess what? They were sore displeased. They had an unrighteous attitude. And this is how people do when people begin to benefit from you telling them the word of God and living the word of God in front of them. People don't like it. So am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I live the truth? Am I your enemy because I'm constantly telling you the truth? And see, we know that there's some righteous talking and righteous living preachers out there who, when they come into service and they hello, you know, and they talk about lying and old lying Lenny, say, oh, I ain't going back there no more. I hate that preacher. He always in my business. They tell loose Linda, or they speak about harlotry, and loose Linda just slept with somebody else's husband, say, oh, I ain't going back there. I hate that preacher. But how could that preacher know when you just left the hotel and he wasn't with you? So people have a hatred for you when you tell them the truth. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Nobody could know these things but God. But people just don't figure it out. They don't say that God pulled somebody's coat and told me or told that preacher about my activities. So that same man, I will leave you with that thought, that same man that you praised the other day, with that very same man that you now cast away. You know, there's so much more that I could say, but I want to make Brother Brown look good. He said he's going to open up the phone line, so we're going to give everybody an opportunity. Well, not everybody. We're going to give some of you an opportunity to speak what's on your mind.
What?
thank you. I thank you. Amen. May God bless you.
Isaiah.
Amen. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I don't know what's going on. Can you all hear me? It's not from my end, so I don't know where it's coming from. By chance, anyone that's on the line, they would like to have comments with Deacon Marvin Cox, this is the opportunity to do so. Anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, is the line open, Brother Brown?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Brother Cox, that was a wonderful message and a wonderful lesson that you told us about tonight. Oh, it's a lot of static.
Okay, I found out where it's coming from. I just blocked that one. Okay, I know where it's coming from now. Go ahead, Sister Gwen.
Oh, okay, Brother Cox. How you doing this evening?
Deacon Cox.
Hello?
Still on the line?
Yes, he is. He's on the line. Deacon Cox.
Oh, yes. Good evening. You know, things haven't really changed. People do not like hearing the truth. They say they do, but they really don't.
Most people
can't handle the truth when they hear it.
It causes
people to lose family and friends over the truth.
The truth is a powerful thing. That's right. We're talking about that same man. You know, that same man that, you know why? Because they can't tell the truth. I mean, they can't stand the truth.
Right.
You know, they can't stand the truth. So,
Deacon Cox, to go back to what she said, some people rather believe a lie than to accept the truth.
That's right.
That's the world that we're living in now. Some people would rather believe and accept a lie rather than accept the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, it is written. It is written. I didn't make this up. It's already been written. It was foretold before the foundation of the world. God has already ordained his word. It's written. So are you going to hate me because I'm telling you what God told me to tell you? I'm trying to get you back on track and in good standing with the Lord. So you're going to hate me because I'm telling you what God told me to tell you that's going to benefit you and your life?
Well, the reason I'm going to hate you is because I don't want to stop.
Go ahead.
Like I said, Brother Brown, the reason people are going to hate you is because they don't want to stop doing what they're doing.
That's it. That's it right there. That's it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the truth. Sister Graham, we thank you. You always have a good questions. You always have good feedback to my guests. So I'm going to give anyone else that's on the line. The lines are still open for anyone else that want to expound on tonight's message from Deacon Cox. Anyone else? The lines are open. Well, praise the Lord. I wanted to give everybody a chance that's on the line. If you had words of encouragement, if you want to have a question, get your opportunity to do so.
Yeah, hey.
Hello? All right, I tell you what, well, since nobody else is saying anything, Deacon Marvin Cox, once again, as always, you have truly delivered God's word the way God gave it to you, and I know it has been received, well received on tonight by the listeners as well as myself, because you truly broke it down, but we can get it a full, clear picture of what this message was all about, and God let us know that his word is never going to go out void. Always going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. So I pray that everyone that have received this word on tonight, have heard this word, have received it, and that we can grow spiritually after hearing this word on tonight. So this word, this is one of those type of words that lets us help us examine ourselves to find out where we are in the Lord according to his word, and that we, our faith can be built up and strengthened through the word, that we know that when we are on the right track and we're doing God's will, and we're fulfilling our God's purpose, that we're fulfilling God's purpose in our own lives, that we know that when we stand up and tell the truth according to the word of God, that God have our back. So no matter who accepts what God has told us to tell them, whether they accept it or not, we have to be faithful doers of God's word. So when he leads us to someone and he gives us a word for that person, now if they don't receive it, they don't really have a problem with you. They really have a problem with God. So you just do what God tells you to do and say what God says, say unto them. Don't add nothing. Don't subtract nothing. Say exactly what God says to say to them according to his word. And that way it's off of your back, and then they have to deal with God about it. So that's what I want to leave to you as the listeners on tonight. Again, I have been blessed by this word. I know that the listeners were blessed as well. So Deacon Marvin Cox, you continue to stay faithful, continue to be the man of God that he has called and a predestined for you to be, because he is truly being glorified through you and through the work that you are doing to upbuild his kingdom through the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. So right now we're going to close out this prayer. I'm asking our listeners, if you would please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus once again, touching and agreeing and knowing that and realizing that you are God. You're God all by yourself. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works. We know that it will never lose its power. We thank you that Jesus Christ, your Son, came down from glory in the form of flesh to pay our sin debt on the cross with his sinless blood. He paid our sin debt and he died. He went into the grave for 3 days. He came out of the grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave in his hand. He's now sitting at your right hand making intercession for the saints of God. And for this, we are grateful on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you that without you, we know that we can't do nothing. But with you, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because you are our strength. You are our everything. So we just bless your name on tonight because you're worthy to be praised. Now, Heavenly Father, continue to comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow in every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name. Those that are going to be into the houses of worship on tomorrow, even those that are praising you and giving you glory and sharing your word through social media on tomorrow, that you will move by your Spirit, have your way, that as your word goes forth with power through your men and women of God on tomorrow, that souls will be saved through your word, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you will get the glory, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as I always say, remember and know that I love you, but know that God loves you more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. good night.